From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Children of the night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever cape wearing, flannel wearing, jean wearing, my friend, my producer, the ever heartthrob of Bob After Dark, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count.
Oh, hey there, Bob, and as always checking to see. Things are running smoothly. They appear to be. They seem like they're running smoothly here on another week, another episode of Bob After Dark. So
now, Count, I just feel like I just saw you the other day.
Yeah, you're right. We're kind of close together. I mean, well, close in the week. I guess close personally, too, as well. But yeah, our last show was on Thursday. Here we are back on a Tuesday. And I feel like I'm in the dark here. Let me put some lights on. Excuse me for that.
Oh, no problem.
There we go. Now we can see. Exactly. Although I am a vampire, I guess.
Aren't you? This is Bob After Dark, not Bob in the light.
No, I know. Well, you know, sometimes things have to come into the light, and sometimes I have to get into the light as well. But great to be back here another week. Again, seems like we were just here not too long ago as far as Bob After Dark was concerned. But we are here now back in the normal Tuesday nights, and it feels good. Tuesday just feels right, Bob. It just feels dang right.
That's good. Now, Count. Not too bad. Now, Count, people are going to get really grumpy if I don't get the weekend update from you. So what's the weekend update?
The weekend update was pretty good, Bob, as far as the weekend is concerned. Actually, one of the people that, you know, one of the programmers around here, I guess that's their official title now, WJO Ben, they had a little shindig, actually, at AMC Theaters. You could rent out a theater. So he rented out a theater, invited some folks over there, and guess what we saw, Bob, in the comfort of our very own theater?
What'd you watch?
Back to the Future.
Which one?
The first one, Bob.
Ah, that's such a, you know, it's one of my favorites.
You can't see the 100. Second one without seeing the first one.
Absolutely.
I guess you can, but it doesn't make sense. But saw that in the theater. It was good to be in a theater. It's been a while since I've been in a theater, so that was fun. The popcorn tasted extra delicious.
Absolutely.
Extra delicious. So other than that, it was a pretty low-key weekend, but I think that was a pretty big highlight. Good movie. Good movie.
How about you, Bob? I actually enjoyed one of my favorite pastimes outside.
What'd you do?
Of paranormal. WrestleMania weekend, man.
Well, that's WrestleMania. And I, too, am a big wrestling fan, but sometimes with the past year, there's no crowd. It's hard to get into, but there was a crowd this year.
There was. I was very in tuned with it. I got to sit back and enjoy that Saturday and Sunday and prepping for the show this week. And you actually have a fan in somebody, Count Panic.
Do I?
You know, your side project.
Yeah.
Your Panic in the Region.
The Panic in the Region.
Which is your travel show about the Northwest Indiana
traveled
region.
Near, and I travel all the way to Crown Point, Indiana.
Yeah, you had an episode about potatoes.
Potatoes, Bob, yes.
And, you know, the Queen of the Night was a big fan of the potato episode.
Potatoes, yes. Downtown Hammond, Indiana, if you're ever around this area, there's a place called Potato Express. Again, they're not a sponsor of this show, but
they're not a sponsor. They can be.
Got to give them a shout-out. Paranormal Potato.
You know, I call myself a potato often, so.
Well, there you go. But you're a paranormal one, right?
I would be something like that. Just a sack of potatoes that washed upon
a
the
sack
beach.
Of potatoes. But they do so many different creations with these potatoes, these baked potatoes, broccoli and cheese, meatloaf potatoes, taco potatoes. They do their own spin upon it. And, you know, besides a good cheese curd, I also do love a good potato. So there are places to check
out. Potatoes are versatile, as what I'm told by some of the fans when they hear me call myself a potato.
Very. Well, where did that spawn from? That's not a negative thing, right? There's potatoes that are enduring potatoes.
All right, I'll share a little bit about my backstory.
Okay.
My sister growing up had me believing that I was adopted for probably the first 10 years of my life. Hmm. And I truly believe that I was adopted. I was a found, as my sister always
Yeah.
told me. And eventually I went to parents and I asked them if I was if I was actually adopted or, found. And they eventually told me no, but my sister carried the joke on for a very long time, and she told me I was crossbred between a Wookiee and a potato. And to this day, I guess a negative connotation I say about myself is that I am some sort of potato.
Potato. Wow, that makes sense. You know, in this on this on the past on the show, in the past on the show, we try to get a dinosaur named after us.
Yes.
Try to get an alcoholic beverage named after us.
We're eventually going to get something named after
But
us.
what about a potato?
I would be okay with that as well. If somebody out there owns a restaurant in the world of podcast land or listening to us live,
Maybe.
listen, I'm okay with a baked potato, a side of French fries. We just need something official that you can go out and order and say, I want the Bob After Dark. Now, if you go to the Des Plaines, if you go to the Des Plaines Ghostbusters HQ, they have a drink available that you can order. That's the Bob After Dark Martini. But if you ask the Des Plaines Ghostbusters, they probably don't remember how to make it. They perfected that really drunk.
What would be in the Bob After Dark potato?
Well, I'm just a butter and sour cream kind of
You
guy.
gotta put a little jazz on. I know you
I
don't
see.
eat
I
meat,
don't.
but.
Just, I don't know. See, that's the thing. Maybe a little salt.
A plain
I
potato?
prefer. You know. I see. Here's the thing. Now, and I promise we're not going to talk
Cheese
about
curds.
potatoes the rest of this
Not a
episode. But
potato.
hear me out.
Yeah.
It's an order of French fries, which is how I prefer my potato
Of
to be
course.
fried.
Yeah.
It's a hash brown crispy all the way through,
Okay.
a little cheese on top, some salt.
All right.
We'll call it the Bob After Dark hash brown.
It's very low key too.
Very
You
low
would think
key.
a paranormal potato would be a lot of whistles and chains and bells and all that stuff
The bells and chains are meant for the Krampus Festival only count,
I guess
okay?
so. I guess so.
We're expecting a phone call in tonight from somebody very special.
Is this the person now?
Is somebody just put them straight on the line?
I don't know who it is. I don't. I
We're gonna
didn't
put them
ask.
right on the. Normally we scan these calls, Liz, a
We do.
caller,
We do.
but we're just gonna take this one live. Who are we
Well,
talking to?
I can assure you, Tony, to tell you this call is totally safe, right, Tony?
It's a safe call. It's a
Who
safe
are we
call.
talking to?
Bob, this is Bill from Lowell.
Hi, Bill
How you
from
doing?
Lowell. Welcome to Bob After Dark.
Hey, I caught a couple of your shows and not into the paranormal stuff, but
Oh, that's
started
fine.
watching some of it on YouTube. And have you ever heard of Mind Seed on YouTube?
I am not. I've heard of Mind Freak, the Criss Angels
Nope.
special. No, but I've never heard of Mind Feed.
Mind Seed. They're pretty good, and I started following some of the stuff they go out and chase and stuff. And I mean, there is some really wild stuff on their videos.
Okay.
And when you go out, have you used what they call an ovulus?
And yes, I have. Actually,
And
my one of my most famous investigations I've ever done, we talked about this last week on the show, was the time that we actually got some legitimate concrete evidence from an obelisk. So, yep, I've used one several
how
times.
about the so-called spirit box? Have you used one of them?
I have, yes. I don't know. There's some validity. I believe that a spirit box works, and then there's other times that I'll listen to sessions. I'm like, eh, that's a little bunk. But I have used
Right.
one, yes.
Yeah. Well, that's the only reason I know about the what is it, the EMP? They use that too.
EMF.
The EMF. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
EMF. And I've started getting into their videos a little bit and watching some of the stuff. And the only reason I even got turned on to it is because of your show. So.
Well, thank you for checking more things out, Bill. And I appreciate somebody who's not into the paranormal listening to my show. That means a lot to me.
Yeah, and first time I ever called into your show, so I appreciate it, man. I'm just coming back from Toledo, Ohio. It's a long day, so I'm using you guys here on the app on the phone. So,
Well, you drive safe and you enjoy your drive there, Bill. And thanks for calling in.
all right, guys, take it easy, Tony.
Take it easy, Bill. Bill from Lowell. Bill
Bill from
from Lowell.
Lowell,
Fantastic
folks, you can call
caller.
in. We
Yes.
have fans that listen from all over the world.
Yes.
If you're listening to some podcast land, obviously you can't call in live. But when we do the record the show, we record it live because we're a radio show and a podcast and a TV show, I guess, in some regard.
Yeah.
So you guys can always call in when we're live. Our phone line is open. You can put Count Panic to work, 219-845-1100.
Yeah.
You can report any ghost sightings you have, any sort of odd behavior or cryptid sighting, alien sighting. If you have questions for us, the phone lines are open. We want to hear from you, just like our friend Bill just did from Lowell, Indiana.
Can't beat that, Bob.
No,
can't
we're expecting a phone call tonight.
We are.
We are. That's what I thought Bill was. But that's okay. I liked hearing from Bill.
I'm gonna keep the phone lines open.
But Steve, our pal Steve Michaels, professional wrestler, paranormal investigator, sometimes co-host, has a big announcement he wants to make on the show. At some point, he's calling in. We don't know when, but Steve's calling in.
He's building up the anticipation.
And the anticipation.
Yeah.
Do you get the movie reference?
Yes.
Do you actually get the movie reference?
I get the joke.
No, do you not? Rocky Horror Picture Show?
It's been a long time, Bob.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Anyway, folks, if this is your first time ever listening or watching Bob After Dark, we're your weekly paranormal show where we talk about legends, lore, and the supernatural. Things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, weird cryptids, odd behavioral things, magic with the K, magic with the C. Things that go bump in the night.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as we were introducing ourselves, this is your first time, because we do have quite a few new listeners.
You never know.
Bob, and that's Count Panic.
Yes.
Yes.
We're here. We're in the flesh. We're ready to rock and roll.
Absolutely. Now, we break the show up into two separate parts, and in the coming weeks, we're actually going to be doing, in podcast land, two separate shows. This we talked a little bit about it. The transition is going to be coming very, very, very soon. So what we normally do is we have our news of the week, our paranormal, weird, spooky news of the week, where we talk about news articles that you, the fans, submit to us. We talk about Count Panic is not prepped for them at all.
Never.
Never. And we share those news articles, and then we dive into the lore of the week, which is whatever the main meat and potatoes, no pun intended, from the earlier talk was about.
Paranormal potato.
We're going to be splitting up very, very soon once we get the logistics figured out in podcast land, guys. The news stories of the week is going to be coming out top of the week, so probably Monday the news story will be coming out, and then lore of the week will probably be coming out Wednesday, Thursday. I haven't decided the time frame yet, but so that way there you guys can listen, because our shows are very long now. For a weekly show, it's kind of absurd. Some of our shows range anywhere from an hour and a half, 2 hours. Just take them live. We have a caller.
We'll take it live. Okay.
We're taking it live. We're taking another gamble. Who's
on
the
phone? Live. Caller.
Oh, hey there, Bob.
Hey! You know, we were just talking about you. Were your ears ringing?
You know, I was in the middle of a meeting with the illustrious Al Snow, so I was
oh.
I was a little bit busy.
What does everybody want? Never mind, we're not going to do that bit on the show. Hello, Steve. What's going on? Now, you had this big announcement. You posted on Facebook that you were going to call in, and we've been waiting. So what's this big news, Steve?
So as those that follow Steve Michaels on social media already know.
Which you should know.
They should know. Starting May 6th, OVW moves to Thursday nights. And I realized that frees up my Tuesdays.
Oh, so does that mean you're going to launch Steve After Dark to combat against my show?
You know, that was my first thought. My first thought was let's relaunch Steve After Dark, the premier paranormal show before Bob After Dark.
Uh-huh.
But then I decided, why compete when I can just return home?
Oh, so what does this mean, Steve?
So this means that starting, I'd say, the second week of May,
uh-huh,
Steve Michaels will be returning to Bob After Dark.
Wow.
Twice a month. So you're welcome, Bob. You're welcome for the ratings boost that this is going to bring you every single week.
Yes, everybody. Thank you, Steve. So, everybody, that's our big announcement. Steve's going to be coming back as a rotating co-host regularly, which we're very excited about. Maybe we could talk Steve into coming back more than twice a month, but we'll see what his work schedule is like, too.
You know, I mean, it might happen, but the reality is, you know, I'm doing this because your fans the Bob After Dark fans have been clamoring. When is Steve Michaels returning? When is Steve Michaels coming back? Oh, we miss Steve Michaels.
Uh-huh.
The show is so much better with Steve Michaels.
I hate you so much, Panic.
And,
do you hear the fanfare, Steve?
I do. I hear the hordes of Bob After Dark fans that are cheering for Steve Michaels to return. And I'm a man of the people, Bob.
Uh-huh.
And I had to give the fans what they want. So I hope you're ready. Count. I know the count's ready.
I'm ready.
I'm ready too, Steve. We're excited to have you back.
It'll be good to be back, and I'll see you all in May.
We'll see you in May, Steve.
How about that?
10 out of 10. You guys, you can check out Steve's. Are you just gonna do that again?
Fanfare, Bob. Fanfare.
Okay, I have to edit this.
No, this. These are real fans. You're
yeah,
good.
They're real fans. We're in front of a live studio audience.
We are. They don't know they're here, though.
Okay. Anyway, folks. So,
big news.
Steve, by the way, you guys can check Steve's merchandise out at prowrestlingtees.com/ChicagoBearHug. I'm sure he'll be peddling his merch every time he's on the show. We're excited to have him back. It's been a little lonely in here since the pandemic started. So we'll get moving.
There you have.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway, guys, let's move forward.
How can we top that news?
With some other news stories.
Okay.
So anyway, folks, real quick, and we'll move on with the show. So we're going to be splitting up the podcast into two parts. You guys can check out the news articles, which takes up half the show, and then the lore of the week, which takes up more than half the show, and then you guys get twice Bob, twice a week. And then, secretly, I am working on two new podcasts.
Ooh.
That's more news to come.
Moonlighting.
Yeah, a little moonlighting, if you will. Something.
Daylighting.
I guess that would be.
if you're in the dark.
That would be daylighting. Yeah. I'm working on some new projects, so we're very excited to be launching those. But without further ado, Count Panic.
Yeah.
Let's dive right in to the spooky news of the week. This is where you the fans send in news articles that we talk about on the weekly. And that is we get the hashtag Panic's Take, where he gives us his take on what the news stories are, and we get a chance to chat about them. All right, so our first story comes to us from the Daily Mail UK, so a story all the way out across the pond in the United Kingdom. And this is all about a weird situation involving sheep. So Christopher Hogg, who's age 47 from Rottingdean, East Sussex, spotted some sheep in a field in concentric circles. The father of one shared photos of an unusual occurrence to Facebook, which with many saying it looked like some sort of crop circle. The incredible pattern was created by the animals following a sheep snacker as it dispensed their food. Hundreds of sheep have caused a stir after they were spotted standing in concentric circles. Chris Frog, 47, was out on a bike ride when he saw a bizarre spectacle in this area. The animals actually formed in the incredible pattern by following a sheep snacker, which is a type of livestock feeder as it dispensed their food in a circle across the field. I was on my daily cycle when I came over the hill and saw this magnificent circle, Chris told the Jam Press. At that point, I was about a half a mile away, which made me think whatever it was huge. It was saucer-shaped, like an alien ship. It was beautiful, but also in 2021, a bit too weird for comfort. I cycled closer and closer and then realized the circle was actually made of sheep. Chris, who was a lecturer at Royal Holloway University in London, said he thought the sheep were acting really weird. And he said the sheep are usually really noisy when he goes past them every day on his bike ride, but this day they were very calm and still. It was quiet, like they were in a trance, and it was very eerie. The father, one rushed home, showed the pictures of the flock to his wife Victoria and his son Lewis, who both thought it was nuts. He also shared the snaps to Facebook, where others tried to figure out what was happening in the shot. Chris added there was lots of debate whether it was a crop or a flock circle or if the sheep were being summoned by a strange force. Others thought they might be being pranked by the farmer, and we all agreed that the mystery warranted the recall of Mulder and Scully. So, if I could describe the picture, and
yeah,
I know I
paint
say
this picture for me here,
it's almost like a target. So you have a circle of sheep, like a big circle of sheep, another circle of sheep inside the circle, another circle, and it's a target shape.
Okay.
Of these sheep standing perfectly still. Now, they're saying that it's possibly that these farmers were using some sort of circular feeding device to kind of feed the sheep, but it's really off-putting. You know, it's kind of like when you see a flock of birds, Alfred Hitchcock style, you know, and you're like, oh, that's kind of weird that they're flying in these erratic patterns, etc. But these things are just standing there, really ominously, like very spooky. It's definitely an odd case of sheep standing. And I know it's logical explanation they're being fed, but from this standpoint, it's just, I don't know how you can keep sheep in that type of pattern. Mm. Wouldn't you think someone would wander off? This is like a perfect, you know, I've seen sheep being herded in videos and stuff, but this is like I said, and there's one, two, there's about five rings of sheep forming this target, and they're all just in it. So there's probably 100 or plus sheep in this image. And I'm going to share this actually to the Children of the Night page. So you guys can check that out and follow along. Hashtag panics take.
Well, Bob, this doesn't sound any good. Actually, it sounds quite bad.
Oh, if I only had a drum. Doo-doo-tsh.
Bad.
You know, Count Panic, was an improv comedian at one point in his career.
I don't think it takes much for that joke right there. But you know what, Bob? This is kind of terrifying. Imagine just driving around in the farmland and you see this. Sheep have a tendency to be a little creepy sometimes. So to see all these sheep together in a circle, the circular motion, that's extra terrifying. And they're not really doing anything, right? They're just standing there. They're not really mingling or anything
like
that.
They're just chilling.
Just standing there.
They're just standing there in this odd pattern.
Terrifying to think about, Bob. And again, sheep, a little off-putting to begin with. Them in a big group. What do you call a group of sheep?
A flock?
A flock of sheep?
A flock of, I guess, yeah. I'm not a sheep expert by any means. I grew up in, you know, the suburbs of Chicago. We don't have sheep here.
No. But to see that, that's terrifying. And I get they're harmless creatures at the end of the day. They won't do anything bad to you compared to some of the other animals out there. But sheep, at the end of the day, a little off-putting.
Our friend James from Peoria has a rebuttal for you, by the way.
What do you say?
That joke was bad.
It was a pretty bad joke, wasn't it?
I thought it was clever.
A flock of sheep?
A flock of sheep. I think it's either that or a herd.
No, I heard of a flock of seagulls.
Can't play that. That's copyrighted.
Yeah, it is copyrighted.
Careful.
Yeah.
I don't want to strike.
But a flock of sheep. You're right. Yeah, we'll go with that. Flock of sheep.
Flock of sheep. Yeah, okay. So anyway, that's the story of the... And I just posted that, by the way, to the Children of the Night page, so you guys can go check that out and see that for yourself. If you're listening in podcast land, just head on back over and take a look. We got another caller on the line.
You want to do these all take them
live?
We're
just going to take them live.
Wow.
Take them live. This is,
you
we're
don't
doing
care.
Something different this week.
All right.
Who's
everybody live here?
Hey, caller, you're on the air.
Hey, what did one shepherd say to the other shepherd?
Hello, John. First off, hello, John.
Oh, hey there, Bob. Oh. How are you this evening?
Oh, doing good. What did the one shepherd say to the other shepherd?
Yes, sir. You don't know?
No.
Let's get the flock out of here.
Doo-doo-tsh.
Not bad.
Sheep puns tonight on Bob After Dark. Sheep puns.
Well, you know what? I can't take credit for that. I heard that on Region Bandstand, shameless plug from Gino.
Oh, well, Gino gets brought up twice tonight.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, so I don't know if he's listening, but I can't take credit for that. I thought it was a pretty good one. He comes up with some good ones once in a while.
Did you just call for a punchline, John?
That's it, yep. You guys are on the conversation with sheep for a while, so I figured I'd throw that in.
Why not?
Absolutely. Well, thanks
you
for...
You guys have a good show.
Thanks, John. We appreciate you.
Yep.
Remember, folks, our phone lines are open. 219-845-1100. We're taking these calls live.
We'll do it live.
We're doing it live. So call in. Let us know what you think about the sheep. Our next story actually is not about sheep, but we're back to the normal paranormal. Normal paranormal. I guess the sheep circles.
The paranormal.
The paranormal.
Yeah.
Ah, that's good. This is the paranormal Firing,
yeah, all cylinders here tonight.
Absolutely. Yeah. So actually, this is a breaking news story that was just kind of coming out. I found this one on Coast to Coast. The operator of a national ghost tour company actually bought something very prevalent to the world of the paranormal and true crime.
What's that?
The Lizzie Borden murder house has been bought.
Really?
Yes. So the operator of a national ghost tour company has struck a deal to purchase the infamous Lizzie Borden murder house in Massachusetts. The residence, which is located in the city of Fall River, was the site of a grisly double axe murder in 1892, wherein Andy and Abby Borden were brutally slain, and their daughter, Lizzie, subsequently became the prime suspect, sparking a sensational trial, which ultimately saw the young woman controversially acquitted for the heinous crime. One of the earliest American true crime stories, the case sprawled of a slew of books, television programs, and movies over the years, and a home that became a popular tourist destination. It was also announced back in January that the house, which doubles as a bed and breakfast as well for the site of ghost tours, has gone on the market for a whopping, guess how much the Lizzie Borden house sold for?
How much, Bob?
$2 million.
$2 million.
Or some of the left wondering what would become of the notorious landmark. Fortunately, the residence poised to be acquired by the person with a profound appreciation for the paranormal, as Lance Zoll, owner of the tour company U.S. Ghost Adventures, has been reportedly signed a deal with the contract to acquire the murder house. Although all the paperwork has yet to be completed, he has already been approved to take over the house, the location's business license, and have begun making plans for what sounds like a bright future for the site. Intending to continue running ghost tours at the home, as well as welcoming guests who wish to stay there overnight, Zoll told TheRealtor.com that he hopes to add more activities and more events at the site, including mystery dinners and an escape room. Even the clever entrepreneur, he also envisions having an axe throwing lanes at the house, since the popular recreational activity would be somewhat of darkly humorous nod to the murders that happened there. We're going to look at producing an official Lizzie Borden axe, he revealed, that we will provide for axe throwing and also to sell to guests. One can only wonder how the spirits said to reside in the house will feel about that particular attraction.
Yeah.
And again, the story comes to us from Coast to Coast. Didn't count. Can we put a note in it to reach out to Zoll over at Ghost Adventures USA?
Yeah, put that in the thing right now.
Yep. Now, before you begin, quick side note, Zoll is not sponsoring the show, or it's the gentleman who runs the company, but you can actually go and check out their company. They do paranormal tours all across the country. And I actually used some of their research for the San Antonio episode a couple months ago. So you can go check them out. They do tours all over. Let's see if we can get them on the show to talk about the acquisition. But hashtag panic stake.
Well, see, now I got little thoughts about this here, Bob, because this is... They're going to make this murder house into an escape room?
They're going to put an escape room on site.
Okay. A little tacky, maybe, a little bit?
Maybe. Maybe.
A little bit too out there, you think?
Maybe.
$2 million, though.
The axe throwing's a bit much.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it's a terrible idea, but it's definitely an idea.
It is an idea. Well, I guess if you make the purchase, you really could do whatever you want with it. Axe throwing, again, maybe. I've dabbled once before. I got to get, you know, from time to time.
Yeah, I hear
you'd like to go out there and throw an axe.
Yeah.
But something like this seems a little bit too out there for me. But again, you pay for it. You can do whatever you want with it. $2 million.
$2 million.
Good luck with it.
Now, I did learn today that they're hosting a contest. That they're if you book one of the tours that they host, and they host them all over the country. And again, they're not sponsoring the show. I don't have any stake in this. But if you book an investigation or a ghost tour with any one of their companies all around America, and you check out with the code Borden, I believe, they're actually giving away a chance to stay at the Lizzie Borden house. What? So they're doing a free, you know, a tour there for free. And they're also putting in $300 toward transportation as well.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a big,
pretty big, yeah.
That's a big deal. So good on him. And you know, I actually looked into buying a buying something like that.
You're going to buy a house?
Well, no. I'm not buying a Lizzie Borden house, obviously. Do we have $2 million in the spending account count?
Our petty cash box, I think.
Do we have $2 million in the petty cash?
I think there might be something. Maybe not quite that.
You might open it up. There might be some crickets in there, but there's no
dust.
$2 million. But I'm impressed.
Well, like I said,
and I have to say, and I'm only going to say this once. It's going to be very brief. Congratulations to him for buying it and not a certain other individual that I was expecting to buy the house.
Maybe buys everything.
When I heard the Lizzie Borden house sold, and I'm not going to mention any names. You guys could probably guess who I'm thinking of. As soon as I heard the name get brought up, I was like, oh, he bought it. And then I saw it and I was like, good, he didn't buy it.
It's a swerve.
That's a swerve. I was swerved by that news article that he who shall not be named did not buy the Lizzie house.
Hey, before you continue on here, Bob.
Yep.
A couple text questions.
I forget we have a text.
Well, the
line.
Same number you call in on 219-845-1100. You can also text in as well. So,
all right. So let's get a
roll
question.
Through a couple of these.
Yeah.
Your thoughts, and again, you may have addressed this before. New reports about Navy reports of UFOs. There's more coming out next month of it.
Yep.
Just some quick thoughts there with that.
It's 2021, man. It's news frenzy at this point. We are so close to just full disclosure. Yes, these things are real. It's just
bound to happen.
Bound to happen.
Bound to happen.
Yep.
Also, another question here. This person sounds like, this is Don from Couts here. Don from Couts calls in and listens in from some time to time. I think Don's trying to think about considering using a Ouija board, but he wants to know your thoughts before he uses one.
Now, you're probably going to be surprised by my answer. They don't bother me to have a collection of them. They're just another way of communicating with spirits. The connotation that they're evil is completely wrong because it was invented as a tool in the spiritualism movement and as a toy for the Hasbro company for years. It's a symbol in the world of the occult. The concept that you use one and you're automatically going to get possessed. No, that's not how that works. But you do have to be prepared because when you're using an Ouija board, real quick, you're pretty much lighting a beacon, right?
Yeah.
Saying, hey, I'm willing to speak with whatever's out there to come talk to me. And you are opening your surrounding area up to pretty much welcome to whoever is passing through to come say hello. And not everything that's passing through is nice and friendly. Sometimes there's mischievous and darker energies afoot. And then you also have to keep in mind, folks, not everything that you talk to that says it's one thing is actually said thing. Mm. I hate to break it to you all, but the spiritual realm lies just as much as we do. So if something comes through and says it's grandma, might not be grandma. My advice, be well-willed when you go into it. I am not held responsible for anything of my advice. It's a legal advice. And just, you know, if you have a religion that you believe in, perhaps blessing your home before and afterwards, and make sure you close the session by saying goodbye is very important. Because if you leave that session open and you walk away from it, you're leaving that gate open for anything that will kind
of that's a common thing people don't think about.
They don't. You have to say goodbye at the end of
it's not like Monopoly or you just get up and walk away in the middle of a game.
Yeah, no, but the Ouija boards are not inherently evil. You know, that's I'll get off my soapbox real fast here, but they're not. They're just a tool. It's, you know, it's no different than saying a candle is evil.
I don't know, Bob. When you were in that room that one day, I had to walk out. I was like, this is
well,
enough.
That's okay. You know, it's fine. But I, it
started floating.
I never floated. Oh. I thought you were going to float.
I thought I was going to float too.
But
yeah.
No, those things don't, like, I don't know. They're not dangerous. They're tools. And if you use them wrong, yeah, they're potentially dangerous.
I mean, if they sell it at Walmart, how bad can it be?
Do they sell, like, Ouija boards at Walmart?
Stores have Ouija boards last time
I
checked.
I've seen them at
Toys R Us.
Toys R Us. I remember being 7 years old going to Toys R Us, and they had one on display. And my mother had a meltdown about it. Don't go over there, buy that thing. And, that's the truth.
Well, there you go.
Yep.
Helpful tips.
So thank you, text line. Do they That was Don.
Don from Couch.
Well, Don, I hope that helped.
Yeah.
All right, you ready for the last news story?
Let's hear it.
All right, so do you remember when we had the clown craze about 5-6 years ago?
Oh, yes. Who could forget that?
People were dressing like clowns and, you know, going to, standing out in front of people's houses. Or...
After last year we had, that was that's a welcome change if those clowns showed up once again.
Well, there's a craze going around England right now in the UK. Plague doctors.
Really?
Yes. This story comes to us once again from our mother's show, Coast to Coast. I'll just read the article. In a trend eerily similar to the creepy clown craze which swept across the globe a few years ago, reports of people being dressed like plague doctors have cropped up in multiple communities across England over the past few days. The strange spate of sightings seemingly began in Scotland earlier this month, where a young man wearing a creepy costume caused something of a stir in several towns until police caught up to him and advised him to stop scaring people. While that particular reign of terror may have come to an end, it appears that it will unleash a wave of plague doctors across the United Kingdom. Much like at the height of the clown craze, keeping track of all the appearances by such unsettling individuals is rather difficult, especially since a lot of these accounts of plague doctor appearing in a community is more often than not an online rumor spread by on a localized social media with varying degrees of evidence for such an individual actually being seen. That said, authorities are taking matters seriously. For example, in the town of Chestnut, police informed residents that they were aware of stories going around and have stepped up their patrols, but have no reports of anyone encountering a plague doctor. Meanwhile, in a testament to a widespread that the craze has become, authorities in the town of Scunthorpe, which approximately is 163 miles away from Chestnut, also issued a statement telling residents that there is no truth to the rumors of plague doctors lingering around areas, school, and chasing children. Over 200 miles away from Scunthorpe, police in a town called Wirral acknowledged the tales of an unknown person wearing all black clothing, a cape, and a black mask with a large beak similar to a crow, has also been seen near a school and declared the matter to be a hoax, as they have no confirmed sightings of any person perpetrating to this character. That's not to say that all plague doctor sightings are merely rumors, as a person in the town of Kidderminster actually managed to capture a video of an individual wearing the unnerving costume. And back in Scotland, another of the characters have been seen at least three times in the town of Drumfries. Authorities who have not addressed this trend attribute it to unsurprisingly, a fad on TikTok, and, oddly enough, say that it originated in the United States, which is somewhat harder to believe since America has yet to experience a wave of plague doctor sightings in a manner similar to what we're seeing in England. That said, should the craze continue, it wouldn't be as shocking if such a scenario occurred. Hashtag panic.
Well, it's a very trendy costume, it sounds like, this year. And I know Pete chiming in that probably the number one Halloween costume this year. Bobby as well. Well, listen. Back then, those doctors were terrifying, Bob. Again, I get the point of it. They had what did they put in those beaks of theirs?
Well, back in the day, you know, they put different things to help them breathe.
Yes.
And to help keep the plague out.
Yes.
And to keep the smell of death entering.
But the whole image there, Bob.
It's a creepy image.
The top hat, the cape, the boots, the mask, whatever else they wore. Imagine that, Bob. Say you're sick. You go to your doctor and he's dressed or she's dressed like that. What do you do?
Get my prescription and leave. It's my doctor. I mean, they're to tell me what to do.
But aren't you terrified to see that? That's like seeing those sheep stand in the middle of the field to see the
sheep's
doctor.
The sheep are more unsettling than a plague doctor is, considering the year we've had.
And were those doctors able to talk back then too? Could they speak out to you if need be?
Yeah, they muffled their voices under the mask.
Because when you see the pictures, well, that sounds even more terrifying, too, Bob. They're muffling their voices.
Would you like to know who chimed in on the subject, by the way, in the chat?
Who?
Our old pal Jack.
Oh, I see that now.
Paranormal researcher and investigator, and I'm going to read this unless he's calling right now.
Well, you want to take it live?
Take it live. Hold on.
We're going to take it live.
Caller, before you identify yourself, I'm going to guess this is Jack.
Well, it might not be. It's
too
early.
Who is this?
Good evening!
No!
What? preoccupied right now. You said take it live.
Why?
Wow. Oh my God, Count Dracula.
Yes, he's I, Count Dracula.
Bob is starstruck right now. This doesn't happen often.
Come on, we went through this 3 months ago. He should be over this by now.
He's not. He could never get over this.
Look at him.
If you're watching on Jet TV or anywhere else, you can see Bob is a pure delight right now.
I'm so happy I called that.
He's beat red. I'm getting a little concerned. We might have to call a doctor in here.
Fine,
for him.
I'm fine.
Count Dracula, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I just had a wonderful meal.
What
late night snack, you could say.
What did you have, Count Dracula?
Well, you know, normally I would have a poor villager, but you know, I'm on a diet, so I had a deer.
You had a deer?
Yes.
Was it good?
Oh, yeah. It's like the dry. No, but jerky.
That's good. So, guys, if you don't know who Count Dracula is, Count Dracula is my mysterious caller who calls sometimes and has a joke, which I have a feeling that's what we're going to get here shortly.
Oh, you bet.
I got to know what's the... I'm laughing before the punchline. What's the joke here, Count? What? Okay, let's hear the joke.
Okay. Three young vampires went into a club and walked up to the bar. "What will you have?" the bartender said. "I'll have a glass of warm blood," the first replied. The second said, "I'll have a full glass of warm blood too, thank you," said the second. And the third said, "I'll have a full glass of warm plasma." "Okay, let me get this straight," the bartender said. "That'll be two bloods and a blood light." Ba-dum-bum.
That's pretty good. Count Dracula, thank you. You never cease to amaze me.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Someday I'm going to find you, Count Dracula. I hope you have a great evening.
Oh, you too as well. Actually, it's almost morning, so I need to get to my coffin pretty soon now.
Absolutely. Count Panic should know a little bit about that.
I should know a little bit about that.
Yes.
You have a great evening.
You as well. And have a wonderful spring.
You too, Count.
Oh, by the way, I had the Easter Bunny for dinner
oh,
a few
yeah.
weeks ago.
Yeah? What'd you guys have?
Chocolate eggs.
That's...
And cheese. And my third favorite cheese, Munster.
Do-do-ch.
Bum-bum.
Thank you, Dracula. Guys, that's not a bit.
No.
That's not, I can't stress this to you enough. That's not a bit. I don't know who this is. Well, it's Count Dracula, obviously.
Yeah.
He's, when we had the hotline going, which we're going to be revisiting soon, Count Dracula used to call weekly, monthly?
Yeah.
And he would leave voicemail
puns. He was the hotline king.
He was the hotline king because he's the only one who ever called. But somewhere in my adventures, I met Count Dracula, and he calls into the show, and every time I just... I can't do it.
Good stuff. This is the second time he called in.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah, that was
isn't it great we take
a
live?
For Jesus Monster.
Yeah.
Can we go to the Jack comment real quick?
Yeah, what did Jack say?
All right, so Jack actually had an... had a thing to say about this plague doctor craze, and it's phantom social workers appeared throughout the UK and the US in the early 90s. Hundreds of adults and children reported them, and it became known as the phantom social worker phenomenon in both countries. Well, thank you, Jack. I did not know that.
What that?
So,
some knowledge.
I don't know, man. Do we get your panic's take on that? Because Count Dracula
Oh, yeah,
derailed,
doctors are creepy.
He derailed me.
The doctors are creepy. That's my take.
10,000% Count Dracula derailed me. And I don't know. Guys, that's not a bit. I can't stress that enough.
Well, this might be a good time You think it's a good time to pause, or should
we? Let's take a quick break. Okay, folks, for our podcast fans, stick around because you're about to be hearing words from a podcast that you should be hearing. And for our live fans, let me just get my composure together, and we'll be right back.
Join myself, Kitsy Duncan, and my co-host Nick Floyd every week as we talk about all things weird, paranormal, and what might be an unhealthy obsession with Bigfoot. We're not here to creep you out. We want you to be a part of the conversation. Find the award-winning, sometimes hilarious, sometimes woo-woo, sometimes a hot mess, Oddity Files, wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Hi, Count Panic.
Hey, Bob. How's it going?
Oh, it's going well. How about yourself?
You know what? I've been doing fine, Bob.
What'd you do during our break?
During the break there, you know, during the break, I was counting some sheep in the field.
Were you trying to fall asleep there, Count Panic?
Yeah, that never worked for me. That's what I was doing during the break, Bob.
Would you like to know what I did?
What were you doing during the break?
I was actually, I don't have a bit for this. I was trying to get my composure together because... Yeah, I'm a professional.
Sure.
You know, we do this on a weekly basis, and, you know, I have to keep my composure when people call and talk to me and crack jokes. But if there is one entity in the entire universe that will make me break professionalism, it's when Count Dracula calls.
We don't know who that is.
I don't know.
We know it's Count Dracula.
My favorite thing about him, other than his punchlines, is his ba-dum-ts. Because he says it in such a way that's so punctual, and I have no idea who he is. And I had to get my composure together.
It was nice to hear from him.
I'm glad to hear Count's doing well. You know, it's a weird world out there, and it's hard out there for a vampire.
You know what? People that live here will get a kick out of this one. Pete has a joke. Again, if you live in Northwest Indiana, you know this place. But what's Dracula's least favorite restaurant? Freddy's Steakhouse.
Boom.
S-T-A-K.
We have lots of jokes today. The sheep. We had lots of sheep puns earlier. The joke.
Everybody's a comedian tonight.
Everybody's a comedian. Welcome Dracula. To the Bob After Dark Comedy Hour.
Basically.
The paranormal comedy show.
That could be a thing.
Jeez. Maybe.
Think about it.
Don't get me busier with my life here. So, Count.
Yeah.
I shared a story earlier this week on Bob After on the Children of the Night page, which if you guys are not a part of, get on it. Children of the Night page is the fan group for Bob After Dark, where we share articles and talk about stuff and lots of fun things going on over there. So join the Children of the Night Facebook page. I came across this article on Rough Maps, R-O-U-G-H, and it was a concept of sharing stories of places that don't actually exist. And I was flipping through it on my free time over the past week. I shared this, and I've been enthralled by the concept of this. It's the idea that a person or a group of people went somewhere, experienced something that shouldn't actually have happened.
Okay.
Because these places don't exist, or these events never happen, or it's a weird time loop. And I don't really have an explanation for it for a topic name other than places that don't exist. And I wanted to leave Let Be, and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to share this article and be done with it. And I was working on my topic for the week, and I circled back to this article, and it's almost creepypasta-like, but these stories aren't necessarily creepypasta-based. I'm sure some of them probably are. And then, you know, we left Creepypasta Story Month, you know, a few months ago. But I just couldn't get over this idea. I couldn't get over these stories.
Yeah.
Some of them are so unnerving. They're almost like the backroom level stuff when we talked about backrooms a month ago. And I just, there's something to them. And it's... We talk about, you know, the concept of the back rooms, and we talk about creepypastas. It even reminds me back when we did the 11 Mile Road episode, well, 2 years ago when we had Anthony on. And those types of stories, I don't know, there's just something to it about being somewhere and it doesn't exist. It's unnerving, it's kind of scary. And some of these stories have a horrifying twist. So without further ado, folks, the lore of the week this week is the concept of places that didn't exist. And this article comes to us straight from Rough Maps, and I'm going to be ripping some stories off of Reddit as well. And I will give credit where credit is due as far as the stories that we can tell this week.
Right.
So let's start with this one here. The story is called Nothing to See Here, Move Along. And these were just written in by anonymous sources. And this article has been spread over several different websites, but we're just using Rough Maps because that's the one I found. And it's like a travel website. But many years ago, me and two of my best friends decided we were going to go for a day of mountain biking in the snowshoe at Snowshoe in southern West Virginia. Now, this was way before the days of GPS, so we were kind of doing this by half-remembered directions and a very old map. The point is, we got very lost. Sometime along the way, we ended up in this very tiny town, which we figured we would ask for directions. It appeared to be absolutely deserted. I'm talking not a single person to be seen anywhere. We parked the truck and split up, looking for anyone we could find. Now this is about 9 or 10 in the morning, so not exactly early, mind you. We went into the post office, nobody. We went into the only bar in town, which was unlocked. It was unattended with music playing, but not a single person present. We went business to business to business and walked the streets for about 25 minutes, when finally, we found some old guy who just seemed to appear out of the middle of nowhere and just walking the town alone. We approached, and the first question we asked him wasn't even for directions. It was, "Where is everyone?" To which he replied, "Well, I guess folks around here don't get up much until around noon." We asked him for directions to Snowshoe, and he pointed to the road we came in on and said to go that way 10 miles and make a right, and we'll find a way to the interstate. We left quickly, and we were all very uneasy about the whole thing. As we left, we were about 5 miles down the road, and we saw a lady dressed up in a state road uniform standing in the middle of a very long straightaway holding a stop sign. When we approached her, she turned the sign from slow to stop. We asked her what was going on. She said that there was some road construction ahead. We told her what just happened, and she kind of laughed and said those people in the town are kind of strange, but let it slide. So we started talking to her, waiting for the line of traffic to come from the opposite direction. We actually ended up talking to her for about 45 minutes to an hour, just got lost in time and in the conversation. Not one single vehicle ever approached from other direction or behind us. Eventually, she said, "Well, I guess it's clear now. Y'all can go on ahead." And slowly turned the sign from stop to slow and motioned for us to go. We went straight ahead, the only direction you could possibly go for the next 30 or some odd miles, and didn't see any sign of construction, state road workers, or maintenance going on at all. She had no vehicle. We figured she was a flag woman dropped off by some crew up ahead. After the encounter with the town of the Sloman, we had enough to call it quits. We turned on the interstate as soon as we found it and headed north and home. Every single one of us remembers this whole encounter in vivid detail to this day. I asked my friend about it actually about 3 months ago at his wedding, and it still freaked him out to no end. What do you think?
So they all have these memories of the same thing, but yet it never happened.
It might not have.
But how does that work? If I could see if it was just me, if I had a memory of something.
Then you could just play it off. But when it's a group of people.
If it's a group of people.
Then you either maybe crossed over a window dimension and you ended up someplace different. Did you end up in some sort of purgatorial etherical plane? Is the story made up?
And just in my mind, though, I would say I remember something. Clearly, I was there.
Yep.
If Susie remembered it, she was there. She knows it. Billy as well. We were all there. We experienced that.
Yeah.
Then it should be a real thing.
Right.
But it's not.
Well, it's just off-putting. And it could have been a real thing, but it was just an off-putting situation.
Yeah.
And then you have this road worker up ahead that, you know, stopping you from moving, and then you just get lost in time for 45 minutes sitting on a long straightaway, that's not good.
No, but I'm just saying, if it's one person, if I felt that and I was somewhere, that might be my mind playing tricks on me. But if everybody else experienced it, I would think it would have to be a real thing. But again, there's more stories like this, you're saying. It's
yes.
Not just that one instance.
No, we got several.
All right, well, continue on then.
This next one comes to us from the Rough Maps article. The story entitled, Now I Want T-Rex Pancakes.
Who doesn't?
My family has a cabin in Cook's Forest, Clarion, Pennsylvania. The cabin was built by my great-granddad and has expanded a bit over the years. It has a nice little nook at the bottom of a long dirt road off the main path down a nearby hill. There were several other properties around, but most of them are up and off the dirt road. Only one is down the hill, and only halfway down at that. It's not modern by any means. No internet, cell phone service, the TV still has dials. You have to twist to get a to watch a DVD. It's very rustic, and I love it. The property halfway down the hill is visible from the front of our cabin, which is where the kitchen window, parking, porch, and fire pit are. For as long as anyone can remember, it's been this abandoned lot that had what was once a cabin with a concrete basement. The cabin was built on the hill, so half the basement stuck out, but the remaining part was crumbling. It was also at the fork where we would ride our ATVs to get the fire break, so excuse me. So even though it's creepy, it was very common and a familiar sight. One Memorial Day, which is when we opened the cabin after the winter, our family went to the cabin for a long weekend to spend time together. Everyone would usually get there in the early evening, and then we would all come together for my great-granddad's dinosaur pancakes for breakfast. So I wake up expecting to smell pancakes and hear the chatter from older members of my family down in the kitchen, but nothing. I assume I've gotten up too early and go downstairs to use the restroom and then go back to sleep. Looking back, the whole upstairs was just a mattress with an aisle between them, so I should have noticed that most of the beds were empty. I get downstairs and see all the adults outside, and I go outside to say good morning and demand my T-Rex pancakes, which one would do. I walk out and see all my family adults in some kind of semicircle facing an older man and a woman I didn't recognize. I assume this is some adult situation, so I go back inside and wake up my cousins, but not before looking at the clock on the microwave and noticing it was about 3 p.m. Now, I love the cabin. I doodled the cabin itself, four-wheelers in the area around it for months leading up to Memorial Day weekend. I was usually up at dawn because I was so excited just to be there. Sleeping until 3 p.m. was not my normal way. Wake my cousins up, and by the time they all mosey downstairs, the adults are all back inside. Everyone is pretty silent, but then my great-grandpa fires up the stove and gets his kids excited for dinosaur cakes. So, all seems normal. I was there greeted by one of my aunts and my uncle, no parents, and my aunt is pretty close to my age and was for sure the cool aunt. So when I saw her pale as a sheet, I asked her what's wrong. She took me outside and pointed at the aforementioned abandoned and crumbling property. In its place was a sprawling cabin mansion, parking lot area full of SUVs, and the coolest looking four-wheelers my 13 self has ever seen. My aunt tells me that the owners had come to say hi to the couple I saw earlier and invited us over to hang out with their nieces and nephews as they were having a Memorial Day get-together just like us. Me, having zero thought other than, besides, awesome, four-wheelers, almost ran to the house, but my aunt caught me and rather forcefully reminded me of my dino cakes. I conceded and ran back inside to an atmosphere so thick with tension that even my undeveloped brain couldn't detect it. The oldest of the adults were acting normal and playing around with us kids, but something was very off. I finally asked what was up, and my aunt bonked me on the head and asked if I had seen a massive cabin mansion last night, last year, the year before. We'd come up to this cabin every few weeks until December, and did I see any construction? No. But they invited us over, and they have cool four-wheels on. Beth, come on! A resounding no from multiple family members made my emotional girl self almost flee and cry, until my grampy, a 6'7 hulk of a man, got down to my level and explained that he felt like something was weird was going on here. He said the couple didn't act right. I assume they meant they were rude and that we should keep to ourselves this weekend. I agreed and we went about our day, all the adults keeping us occupied with activities either inside or behind the cabin. When we got ready for bed, I saw my great-granddad, who was a World War II vet, who had the only bedroom on the first floor, loading 3 shotguns, handing one to my grampy and the other to my uncle/cool aunt's husband. To my shock and awe, my grampy pulls out a Glock from... Grammy pulls a Glock out of her purse. I go to bed with images of my little Grammy taking down a bunch of bad guys with her shiny pistol. I wake up the next day to the smell of pancakes and the sound of adults chattering downstairs. I'm sad because today is the day we have to pack and leave, but things seem to be back to normal, so I felt very glad. I ran downstairs, note that the clock says 7:30, but ignore the weirdness and sit in front of a plate of dinosaur pancakes that I dig into, while asking my aunt what time we have to leave. Leave? We don't leave until tomorrow. Wait, what day is it? I retorted. It's Saturday. We just got here last night. I notice a bit of doubt in my aunt's eyes that I knew something was up, and I run outside. The abandoned lot is back to its decrepit state. I resolve to brush it off and enjoy my ATV riding and forget about everything pretty quickly. It wasn't until I got back to school and was called in the main office where then I asked why I wasn't at school Monday. I told them that today was Monday. What are they talking about? Nope. It's Tuesday. And my absence was unexplained, despite several calls to my parents.
So this person was missing. Had this whole event that they took part in. And none of it ever happened for anybody else. Missed school. Phone calls were made to the parents. Child just unexpectedly vanishes. But all in the meantime, they're having quite the adventure.
Yeah.
How do you explain that?
That's weird.
Where did they go?
I mean, the way the story plays out, it sounds almost creepypasta-like, so maybe that's what I'll chalk this up as. But if it was real, what happened? What was this idea of this cabin mansion and people being freaked out by it and them pretty much just slipping a whole day away? You could chalk this up as a glitch in the Matrix situation, some sort of, you know, time-repeating, loop. But how do you explain the new people that just built a cabin what seemed like overnight?
You can't explain it, Bob.
No.
That's what makes it spooky.
I'd say so.
Yeah.
I got the chills just reading that, man.
But those pancakes.
Now, see, that's the real mystery of this entire story is dinosaur-shaped pancakes.
What dinosaur are they shaped like?
I don't know. What's your favorite kind of dinosaur, Kyle Panic?
Pterodactyl, because it's flying in the sky.
That's a good answer.
How could you beat that?
All right. I'll read one more from the Rough Maps, and then I got a couple stories from Reddit I'd want to read. All right. So this one's titled, Know Your Horror Movie Tropes, It Could Save Your Life. Driving in rural areas in New England near the borders of Vermont and Massachusetts, so I'm not sure which one I was in. It was late. Well, okay, so it was late, and it was actually early. There was a fog. Dense fog. Silent Hill levels fog. And like the guy who dies in the opening scene of a horror movie, I am driving on the back roads. First, my headlight just goes up and cuts out. I cannot use the high beams because of the fog. I'm in the middle of nowhere, and I haven't seen a house or a town in a long time. Car starts making a noise. Check engine light comes on, so I pull over, nothing much around field and dark and fog. Around field... And dark, fog and dark. I'm reading this word from Word, folks. This one's not perfectly written, so I apologize. I gamely look at the engine. I fix electronics, not engines. I tighten all the things I know. Car won't start. So I'm in the dark, middle of nowhere, on the side of a road. Because of the natural rules of how things work, my cell phone has no service at all. It's like one big cliche. But I'm not dumb enough to go wandering the roads right now, so I recline in my seat and decide to take a nap for a couple hours until the sun comes up. I wake up, the sun's coming up and the fog is going away, and I'm on the main street of a tiny town, parked in front of what looks like the Bates Motel. Houses everywhere is the creepiest feeling. I was sure I was off in the woods, and there was not a light on in any of the houses all night, There was a service station about 50 yards up from the road. I walked up to it, talked to the guy, who looked perfectly normal. He walked over, took a look at my car, and asked to try for me to try to start it. I did, and guess what happened? Turned over right away, and both headlights were working. I drove on and never got the name of the little village, and I couldn't find it on a map. I always felt like this was some setup for a big horror movie that just didn't pan out.
Very eerie, Bob.
That's what I'm saying. Now, that one sounds like maybe guy fell asleep.
Yeah.
Behind the
I'm chalking it up to that.
That's
what I'll chalk it up to that.
So, fake or not? Fake or not? What did you think of that one?
I'm going to go with fake. I'm going to chalk it up to that. Fake.
Now, have you ever driven when you were really, really tired and you start maybe hallucinating on the road or something like that, and you're just like...
of course.
I've had that happen. Yeah. It's terrifying.
Yeah.
It's very possible that's what this person did. They hallucinated the fog and they passed out, and, you know, luckily they fell asleep instead of behind the wheel. They were smart enough to pull over.
No, that's a terrifying thing when that happens. Art chiming in, and this is... I believe this one.
Okay.
I once skipped over an entire day at Big Frank's Sausage. Walked in on a Friday, walked out on a Sunday. What happened on that Saturday, Bob?
Drinking.
Oh, I get it now.
That's what I like to call time travel.
Ah.
That's non-scientific time travel.
That's an easy one to chalk it up to.
That's an easy one. Yes. Don't worry, I got your answer for that.
There you go.
All right, the last one I'm going to read from Rough Maps, because that one was a little quick. I got through it faster than I expected. This guy drove through a David Lynch film. It's the title of this. If you're a fan of David Lynch like I am, Twin Peaks, Eraserhead, Blue Velvet, etc.
What a storyteller.
I was relocating across Texas, and I, as I normally do, was driving through the night to skip traffic because it was the most serene that way. I was driving straight through central Texas going northwest, so seeing the hill country change to desert and the full moon was super cool. Anyways, I was driving with my now ex-wife and we were running low on gas. Luckily, we were pulling into a tiny, no-name town and we can see an old gas station come up around the bend. This encounter happened around 2 a.m. Now, this town only has one road and this gas station was on the right on the edge of town at the end of it. And when I say old, I mean very old. The type that you have no opinion on prepaying. There's no option of prepaying. You simply flip up the handle on the machine. You hear the pump inside start struggling to get gas from the reservoir. And it had the very old-style tick readers, too. Nothing electrical about it. I, being the young man I was, had never seen one before, so I walked into the store to buy the gas before I pumped. The store only had one light on in the far back, and I almost thought it was closed since it was barely brighter inside than it was out in the moonlight. Upon entering, I saw the place was deserted, no customers, no workers, nothing. However, there was an odd tune playing on somebody's radio that I couldn't place. An old-sounding, upbeat piano piece was playing somewhere around the corner inside, and I heard shuffling once I walked closer to the source. This place made me feel scared, not the whole, whoa, this is creepy scared, but the all hairs on the end, something is seriously wrong here, but I can't figure it out scared. As I turned the corner, I saw a young man standing next to a large radio and was dancing. His dancing, though, was extremely off-putting and seriously didn't match the tune at all. Sounds like me and Count Panic when we're drinking a couple. Though the radio was cranking out what sounding like a ragtime, this guy was running his hands up and down his body, pretty much feeling himself with his eyes closed in what looked like bliss. He was going far slower than the music and definitely wasn't on tempo. For some reason, I couldn't speak. I couldn't even move. I was in a trance, as every part of me wanted just to scream, turn, and leave. Finally, I mustered up the energy and said, "Excuse me, I just need some gas." The guy kept dancing. I said a little louder, and he finally slowed down a bit and opened his eyes and focused on me. It was like he was looking at a finely cooked steak. He was looking almost through me and silently walked to the register, not saying anything, and I said, "Just $20 worth, please." He, again, didn't say anything and just stood behind the ancient registers, so I figured maybe he didn't speak the language or was embarrassed I caught him dancing. So I laid the money on the counter and went outside hoping he'd turn on the pump. I filled up, told my wife about the weird scene in there, and turned off the pump to kill the horrible grinding noise from the interior pump fighting against the gravity to get the gas up. Weird thing is, when we were leaving, I looked back in the window and the guy was still standing there behind the counter. This may sound fine, but my money was still on the counter in front of him. It was like he was a robot who just turned off when I left. This is where it gets super weird. A couple months later, I was driving back to San Antonio to visit family. We figured we'd stop at that old gas station to see it in daytime since we had become somewhat of a running joke between us. We pulled into this tiny town and the thing was gone. The lot it sat in at the end of the road wasn't even there. It's just grass. No rubble, no old pump, no lighting, nothing. It was like somebody picked it up and moved it. It looked like nothing's been there for years. I still get freaked out thinking about it.
That one's a little more believable. I think I could take that one.
What's your explanation on that?
I have no. It's believable because I have no explanation for that. But that image is still, you know, they know it's with. See, these single accounts, much more believable than the group accounts. Although the last one was kind of hokey, I don't fully believe that one. But I'm much more inclined to believe, hey, if you experience it by yourself, everybody else is experiencing it. That's just really, it probably did happen.
Yeah.
That's where I stand with this.
We got a couple more.
Yeah.
So switching gears over to Reddit, I'm going to just read a couple of these.
Sure.
Just off an Encounters Ask Reddit subreddit here, which, by the way, folks, researching the paranormal, Reddit's the place to go.
People love the Reddit.
I do. I love the Reddit.
You love the Reddit.
So this was written by, this was written in just an the Ask Reddit subreddit. So it wasn't anything inherently paranormal, and it wasn't like a creepypasta one. This was serious, Erie Town's disappearing diners and creepy gas stations. What's your true, unexplained story about being in a place that shouldn't exist? And they specify serious replies only. Our first story comes from user Real Abstract Squid II. When my brother and I were 10 and 12 respectively, our family went on a hike through the cemetery and into the woods not far from our house. My brothers and I would explore these woods every day, even camped in them before, so we knew it like the back of our hands. Anyway, as the family hits our usual spot by the creek through the creek halfway through, Brother One and I said we'd be back in a few. We wanted to wander further up the creek, so we did. We came across a large hill we'd never seen before, and it was littered with what looked like someone's worldly possessions. As if they turned a house upside down, shook out its contents, and took the house and left. There were tons of painted X's on the trees in the surrounding areas, showing someone intended to cut them down at some point. We poked around for a few when we thought we heard our mom hollering for us. So we all turned tail and walked 20 feet back down the hill to where our parents were. The encounter lasted something maybe 45 minutes on our end. As soon as our mom saw us, we got the beating of a lifetime. We had actually been gone something like 4 hours. She never saw us walk up any hill and remembered us meandering down the straight path by the creek, not turning up a hill that was 20 feet away. She and her husband and our other brother combed the woods for 4 hours, screaming our names and couldn't find hide nor tail of us. We pleaded our case and even tried showing her the hill. Surely she was messing with us. So we stomped off and turned for the hill and was gone. Nowhere to be seen. For years we explored the woods determined to find that hill. We covered miles and miles of off-path woods. We got older and mapped it out. To this day, that hill just didn't exist. We never found it again. Never found the weird furniture, toys, clothes, and other household items that were scattered across the hill, and never met anybody in that area that had a clue about said hill. We probably just wandered way further than we meant to, but I always found it weird that we never found that hill again.
Where did the hill go, Bob?
I don't know.
Well, a hill. Think about it. A hill. Hills over time, Bob. Mm-hmm. Do they evaporate?
What?
Hills.
Did you just say hills evaporate?
Yeah. I mean, over time.
Folks, we're not scientists on the show, nor do we claim like we are, but... What?
Well, okay. Let's put it off like this. I'm trying to explain. I'm listening.
I want to hear your
theory. It's
kind
of like, I'm trying to break this down here. I'm trying to figure out
why... All right, no problem. I'm listening. I hear your jaw moving.
Other than the hill just kind of like deflating, I got nothing to explain this. The hill would have to physically deflate, though, for this to be somewhat true. Yeah. A hill just does not disappear. It's not scientific. It's not right.
No. So
maybe what they're saying is true.
I think they maybe wandered off too far and didn't realize it.
Maybe. So you're saying maybe they were in the wrong spot. The hill's somewhere else. The
hill's somewhere else.
Interesting.
They said they never found it, though.
They're just bad with directions.
You are the bad one with directions, Kyle.
I am bad with directions, too. But they're bad with directions as well. They can't find the hill.
Absolutely.
Well, I think we solved the mystery for that one.
You did. Right. I have a couple more.
Sure.
This one comes to us from user Seersucker. In the seventh grade, I had a friend that lived near a beach on the bay of Lake Michigan. One day in early May, it reached 70 degrees and nearly unheard of for that time of the year in northern Wisconsin. My two friends, including the beach friend, excitedly rode our bikes down to the beach to maybe dip our toes in, expecting still frigid waters and then tan, as in quotes, the rest of the afternoon. The water, though, was surprisingly warm, like bath water warm. In this particular area of the bay, the water was shallow for about a half a mile out, and we joyously splashed around, wading deeper and deeper until we were out about chest deep. As we dunked each other and swam with the abandon, I started to feel sick. Bad headache, nausea, wobbly, and just then my other two friends mentioned that they were also starting to feel sick. We headed back to shore, nearly crawling by the time we got out. The three of us collapsed under a tree and fell asleep for 2-ish hours. When we awoke, we talked about how weird it was. I dipped my toe back in the water and it was freezing cold. To this day, I had no idea what was in there. I do know that there was a chemical plant that used to be in town that manufactured things like Agent Orange, and that their practices were known to be less than environmentally conscious. I never touched that water since.
So we're, now
so not a place that doesn't exist, but in this case, it's like the water, the nice, comfortable water.
Well, we have water changes all the time here in the region, it seems like. So I guess it's nothing too far back. Well, this one could be... Well, this one's not so mysterious as the rest of them. It could be anything. They even said there's maybe some chemical changes involved with this too as well. So this one, there's people that test water out there. Get the water tested. See what it is for yourself.
Fair enough. Simple as that.
Yeah.
All right, you ready for... I got one more.
All right.
This one's actually going to be something close to home for us.
Here.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is from user Captain Longbeard.
Captain Longbeard.
Was driving through Illinois to get to Chicago about a decade ago with a group of friends, and we stopped at a Taco Bell. The first thing we noticed was that the workers were acting very odd. Everything they said was monotone and rehearsed. After sitting in this fairly busy restaurant for a bit, we all just kind of looked at each other at the same time and realized that none of the conversations were happening around us made any sense either. The people were speaking, and it was English, but the sentences from the people at the restaurant weren't logical. They were just saying words at each other. We didn't say much about it until we got outside, and at which point we all freaked out and confirmed each other's experiences at once and got out of there. And we jokingly referred to that place as the NPC Training Center, since the people didn't seem to be real, or that they were learning how to be human or something. It freaks me out.
Go through that one more time there.
So this group of people were driving through Illinois to get to Chicago.
Yeah.
They stopped at a Taco Bell.
Yeah.
And they were saying the workers were all monotone and barely speaking.
Okay.
the people at the restaurant weren't speaking sentences. They were just saying words at each other.
Huh.
So, like, not coherent sentences. They were just talking.
Now, what if the employees got together to mess around with these people?
It's possible. I see you're taking the skeptical side here. And there's people that ask questions to the said user.
Yeah.
One question was, were your orders right?
That'd be
and of course, the Captain Longbeard said, yep, I believe all the orders were correct, which I guess just ups the creepy factor. Someone asks if they were young and doing drugs, and they said they were straight edge, so none of them were high or anything. Do we have a caller?
We do. We're going to take it live?
Take it live.
I think we know who this is.
It's 10:23 at night. I'm finishing up my last story. Jack.
Tony.
No.
No. Hello.
Hi there.
Tony.
Can you hear them?
Yeah. Hi there. Can you hear us, caller?
Yes, I can. Hey, Tony, did you go to college?
I'm trying to. Did I go to college, caller?
Yes. Did you go to college, Tony?
I did.
I thought so. A hill cannot evaporate or deflate. A hill can potentially erode.
Erode.
I don't know.
That's the word I was searching for.
Caller, caller, caller. I was. I didn't want to crack that joke, but I appreciate
it. Bob, did you know it could erode?
It could disappear over time, not evaporate. It's not like a smoke.
Yeah. As soon as I heard you say that, I knew you were a college boy, so just wanted to chime in.
Bob and I went to the same college, so I think.
I didn't say the hill evaporated.
Bob must have stayed awake.
I didn't stay up for a hill class, I guess. I don't know. I fell asleep during that.
All right, brother.
Thanks for calling in, caller.
All right. I stand correct. Eroding is what the hill does. Erode.
I'm surprised that wasn't Jack.
No. Well, a correction was made.
The correction, I'm putting in an asterisk there, not Jack. Jack won't call in tonight.
Now you're
still evaporating.
What? Deflating, evaporating.
I'm never going to get over that.
Roading.
I wish Steve was here.
All in the same family.
It's fine. I'm just picking on you. And so is that caller. So they were asking in that thing in the comment thread if they were doing drugs.
Yeah.
Logical question. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of these stories, you would say, are you doing drugs? And they said they were all straight edge at the time. And for the uninformed, straight edged is a lifestyle choice that some people partake in where it's no drinking, no smoking, and no consensual. Casual fooling around. We'll
but you
say.
Can't have Taco Bell.
You can't have Taco Bell, yes. Right. Some people add veganism to the straight edge stuff.
Yeah. None of that happening at Taco Bell.
Somebody asked about the, if they remembered anything about the conversation, like any of the words being said. This one says, the best I can remember about the weird conversations was they were stringing several prepositions in a row with no real sentence structure. Forced laughter, nodding, and stuff like that. Like they were mimicking how humans talk. Think of those weird what English sounds like to a non-speakers on videos on YouTube, and everybody was doing it around them.
Well, I tell you what, if there's a group of people out there that work at the local Taco Bell or any fast food chain, what a great gag to pull on some folks. Like that could be if you want to bond with your fellow coworkers, just do that.
Yeah.
Just do that.
Are you enjoying these stories, Cal?
I am, Bob.
Would you like one more?
Let's hit it.
Let's get it. Because I'm just curious if Jack's going to call in.
You're really... Oh, so you're just...
I just want to see if Jack calls in, because I want to know Jack's input on this.
Oh.
Normally, I'd say just call him. And I mean, we can.
Well, if he's listening, he'll call.
He'll call. All right. So this last one's actually from a deleted account. Spooky stuff. This happened to a friend of mine about 20 years ago. He had been working as an installer of double glazed windows and would often find himself traveling with the crew all over Kent and the southeast part of the UK. One job he was doing wasn't all that far from home, so they decided to drive to home instead of staying over at Airbnb. Not Airbnb. They set off home quite late in the evening, and it was already dark. There wasn't much on the roads, and it was pretty cold, so not many pedestrians about. They were going along one fairly straight bit of road when they passed through a fairly unremarkable village. And they had the usual things like a pub and a corner shop with little more else than cottages. About 5 minutes later, a couple of the crew were complaining that they really needed a drink, and they must be a pub somewhere nearby. He suggested they turn around and go back to the village. They turn around, drive back, and there was no village there, just fields. There wasn't any turnoffs, so this couldn't have been a mistake, just one straight road.
Well, Bob, maybe the village evaporated. It's gone.
Oh, boy.
Well, here's the thing. Some of these are a little more explainable than the others, but at the end of the day, very all creepy in their own right.
Yeah. Which was your creep? So we'll cut it there. What were some of the creepier stories to you that really just struck out to you?
I mean, when you're missing a whole village, I guess that one's very. You can't really think about how that one would really turn out naturally. The worst case. The Hill, not too much. The Taco Bell employees talking in tongue, not too much there.
They were talking
as well.
In tongue. They just weren't.
They had their own little language there.
Yeah.
How about the pancake one? That was kind of a... I think, the group one, because the group one, if everybody's experiencing that, how can that be explained? So I'm going to give it to the group one.
Mine, the scariest story I think we read tonight, that one that just gave me, the straight goosebumps, would be the gas station with the gas station attendant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's some scary business.
Yeah.
That's horrifying. That gave me the chills just thinking about it. You just walk in, there's just this... dancing. Might have killed somebody.
That's terrifying as well, Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah. On a single standpoint, I think that's terrifying.
Do you think a lot of these stories are creepypastas and they're not actually serious?
They sound like them, that's for sure. So
do you believe any of them could be possibly true?
Well, sure. There's always a sense of them all being real. I'm just saying the most common ones that could be proven false, the water one, Taco Bell employees, the village. How do you leave behind a village? How does a village just disappear? So there's some stuff that doesn't add up there, and I don't know how to explain it, Bob. I can't explain it. Unless there's bad directions, like the Hill one, you lose a whole village. But if you're going down the same road, they should take you back to that village.
This is in a long string of stories you hear about called glitches in the Matrix.
Yeah.
Which is a popular belief that what we live right now isn't real. This is some sort of simulation.
Yeah.
And the simulation has hiccups once in a while, just like any computer program or anything. And so these situations like this, some people believe they're called glitches in the Matrix. And I've had them happen to me in my life. I don't necessarily know if I buy into the concept that this life is like a computer simulation, but I don't know. It's interesting.
You never know, Bob.
If these stories are true, and I'm sure some of them are, and I'm sure some of them are fabricated because it's the internet. I'm reading Reddit posts. I'm sure a lot of these are fabricated. But I don't know. If some of these are real, maybe they are glitches in the Matrix. Maybe there's some sort of time vortex. The popular thing going around right now is the fourth dimension.
Yeah.
Fifth dimension. That's been a popular topic. Maybe you crossed over a window, like we talked about the story with the West Virginia case. Now, West Virginia is known for these window pockets, which what I mean by that is you one plane of existence to another. They crossed through some sort of window dimension, and they went to something different. And that person that was the stopping, crossing construction worker person, they were just, keeping track of who's coming in and out of their dimension. That's where I would stick it at.
Yeah, well, again, if something happens to me, I'll go to Taco Bell, let you know what the employees are saying.
If you go in there and tell them you're Count Panic, they may say something.
Get a free burrito. Get a free burrito, Bob.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Count, got anything left over to say for the evening?
Bob, it's been a pleasure as always. Can't wait to do it again next week. Until then, think about what will be on the Bob After Dark potato. The paranormal potato.
Goes full circle.
Full circle.
Full circle.
Taco Bell's potato's back again, so maybe we can talk to them about striking a deal. We'll see.
Bob After Dark, sponsored by Taco Bell. That sounds, that has a ring to it.
Yeah.
Just like the ring of the bell from Taco Bell.
Hey.
The show's not sponsored by Taco Bell, by the way. I'm just, I'd like to be sponsored by Taco Bell so we can have a sponsor. But anyway.
All right.
All right, folks. Thank you for watching and listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. On behalf of me and the entire team, I just want to wish you guys all sweet dreams. To my mom and dad, I just want to say goodnight. And to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I just want to wish you the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. And remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are, not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development. Ooh.